Good morning, dear listening friend. In your quest to worship and serve God, we ask you to reflect on this important question this morning. Are you walking by faith, or are you walking by the opinions of a man, probably a religious leader? History testifies that the religious life of individuals usually is guided either by the revelation of God or by the doctrines and traditions of men. Now, these doctrines and traditions of men could either be self-generated or religious leader-generated. Behold, the nation of Israel, as captured in the Old Testament scripture, they experienced these two facets in their religious life. And today, history is clearly repeating itself. And we will, by the grace of God, explore this phenomenon in today's study. So, dear listening friend, you are listening to Let the Bible Speak, a broadcast that aims at allowing the Bible to answer our questions concerning God, His church, His Son, the purpose of man on earth, and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Let the Bible Speak is a sponsored program of the Church of Christ that meets and worships at Life Camp Junction in Abuja. The Church of Christ advocates a return to the Christianity that is found in the New Testament section of our Bibles. At Let the Bible Speak, we continue to reiterate our belief concerning the Word of God, which is the seed of the Kingdom of Christ, that biblical Christianity and the church that Jesus Christ founded and established can be reproduced the way it was when Jesus designed and founded it, with the same seed that was used to produce it close to 2,000 years now. We believe the Bible teaches us to plant that same seed in order to restore and maintain the undenominational Christianity as revealed in the pages of the New Testament of Christ. And we pray that you, dear listening friend, will join us in this noble quest. I am Abiodun Adegoroye, and with me in the studio this morning is Solomon Efiong Asukwa, a minister of the gospel serving with the Church of Christ, Gogwa, Tasha.
Good morning, dear listener.
And we also have Felix Ekpeyong, a servant of God serving with the Church of Christ, Masaka, opposite Angwan Fulani Fuel Station along Jankawa Road, Masaka.
Beloved, good morning.
Now, Let the Bible Speak broadcast comes to you by the sponsorship of the Church of Christ, Kado. The Church of Christ, Kado, meets and worships at Life Camp Junction, adjacent to Fana Hotel. It is 100 meters away from Polaris Bank at Life Camp Junction. Today's broadcast will examine the faith of Jeroboam as recorded in the book of 1 Kings chapter 11 and 12. But before we delve into the study, we ask that you kindly join us in a word of prayer.
Our blessed Father, we come to you this day with humble adoration, because you are good to us and your mercies endure forever. Ancient of Days, we thank you for sparing our lives to be part of the living. King of Glory, we thank you because you have given us your word to direct us, to lead us in the path of righteousness. Father, as we have come to you, O Lord, we invite you, Father, for your leadership, especially in today's broadcast. May you speak through us so that your word will minister grace to our listener.
Amen.
Ancient of Days, we pray that may your word go forth, O Lord, to help us in this religious and Christianity that we have found in you, so that, O Lord, we will continue to walk according to your word. Be with our country and continue to speak peace, so that we all will live in harmony. Take glory and honor in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Beloved listening friend, as we continue in our studies on the need to walk by faith, today we want to examine the faith of Jeroboam as narrated in the book of 1 Kings. But before we learn lessons from Jeroboam's faith, it would be ideal for us to know who Jeroboam was. Who is Jeroboam? Jeroboam was the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite. He was one of Solomon's 12 superintendents, and he had jurisdiction over all the taxes and labor exacted from the house of Joseph. Let the Bible speak from 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 28.
The man Jeroboam was very able, and when Solomon saw that the young man was industrious, he gave him his charge over all the forced labor of the house of Joseph. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 28.
Amen. In fact, Jeroboam was so capable that God chose him to be the first king of the northern kingdom. Ahijah, the prophet from Shiloh, predicted that he would reign over the 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow. Then Ahijah relayed a promise of God to Jeroboam. The promise made to Jeroboam was this: if he, Jeroboam, will follow God, his kingship will continue. The crown will remain in his family line. God made almost the same promises to him that he made earlier to King David. So Jeroboam had the opportunity to become the first of a long line of kings in the northern kingdom. Let the Bible speak from 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 37 and 38.
And I will take you, and you shall reign over all that your soul desires, and you shall be king over Israel. And if you will listen to all that I command you, and will walk in my ways, and do what is right in my eyes, by keeping my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with you, and will build you a sure house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 37 to 38.
You see? Jeroboam had it all.
That's true.
What it takes to reign over Israel with his descendants, if he will walk by faith.
Faith.
Obediently obeying the word of God. But Jeroboam decided to walk based on his own ideas, thus committing an abominable act before the Lord. He will forever be remembered as a king who caused Israel to sin. Let the Bible speak from 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 16.
And he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam. Which sinned and made Israel to sin? 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 16.
Thank you. Listening friend, Jeroboam became a prototype of an evil king. After his death, 15 kings were described as being evil like Jeroboam. Today, many religious leaders and religious organizations have replaced the word of God with their own opinions and traditions, thus causing so many people to be worshipping God wrongly, even in their sincerity. Let us consider, what abominable act did Jeroboam commit that caused Israel to sin against God, that made him to be the byword of evil in Israel? Jeroboam, on ascending the throne, became a smart politician, like so many politicians in our political landscape today, who, before the election, they will make all kinds of promises. But immediately they get into the office, they forget all about the promises they made, thinking about only themselves and how to remain in power, if possible, forever. The same thing was applicable to Jeroboam. When he became a king in Israel, instead of him to remember the word of God and the promises of God, which would have granted him a long reign for himself and his generations, and God's blessings too, he decided to reject the word of God and adopt his opinion, his own innovations, which was politically correct in his own eyes. Listen to the promises of God concerning Jeroboam in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 37 to 38.
And I will take you, and you shall reign over all that your soul desires, and you shall be king over Israel. And if you will listen to all that I command you, and will walk in my ways, and do what is right in my eyes, by keeping my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with you, and I will build you a sure house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 37 to 38.
Look at these promises. I will give Israel to you. So what did Jeroboam do, you may ask? Jeroboam disregarded both the promises and the warning that the Lord had given to him through the mouth of prophet Ahijah, and plunged headlong into religious disobedience. Jeroboam became an innovator, just like we see in our Christian landscape today. As a result of Jeroboam's innovations, which were violations against the will of God, he practiced what the Apostle Paul would have called will worship, as captured in Colossians chapter 2, verse 23. Let the Bible speak.
These things have the appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion, humility, and harsh treatment of the body, but they have no value against self-indulgence. Colossians chapter 2, verse 23.
Will worship, self-made religion, is what a vast majority of people are practicing today in our religious world. Sometimes, without even knowing that their worship is not acceptable in the sight of God. This will worship or self-made religion was what Jeroboam established when he became king in Israel. How did Jeroboam establish this will worship? Let the Bible speak from 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 26 to 29.
And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David.
You see,
if these people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of these people will turn again to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and he said to the people, you have gone up to Jerusalem long enough.
Mm.
Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, and he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 26 to 29.
Beloved listening friend, please note how evil creeps into the heart of a man. Instead of believing in God who promised, Jeroboam became afraid that he might lose his kingdom.
Mm.
How was Jeroboam supposed to handle this question, prompted by fear that the people might turn back to the house of David if they continue to return to Jerusalem for those appointed feasts and ceremonies that God commanded? Was he supposed to urge the people to go to Jerusalem in obedience to God? Or was he supposed to disregard God's law and arrange a new system of worship that did not require the people going to Jerusalem? It was an important decision.
That's true.
A divided nation awaited his guidance.
Mm.
Giving answer to the question required righteousness, integrity, conviction, and courage to make the right decision that will be pleasing in the sight of God. In complete disobedience to God, Jeroboam set up new centers of worship under the guise that it was too far, too much trouble for the people to go to Jerusalem to worship God. Not only did Jeroboam set up new centers of worship, he went even further and set up new objects of worship, golden calves. Beloved listening friend, critically looking at the action of Jeroboam, you will discover that today's religious leaders, as well as religious organizations that are regarded as churches, are doing exactly what Jeroboam did.
Exactly.
Jeroboam's fear was that the people in his kingdom will eventually want to reunite with the southern kingdom of Judah as they continue to make this their yearly trips to Jerusalem to worship. Though God had clearly promised him that his kingdom will endure if he will or would, but only be faithful to following God. In that 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 38, God had also told Jeroboam that idolatry was the very reason why the nation was being torn apart in 1 Kings 11 33. So the kingdom reuniting was not even a bad thing. In fact, if Jeroboam really loved God and God's people, he would have longed for such a unity.
That's true.
But Jeroboam's false religion was selfish, sinful, and certainly unnecessary. A mindset ruled by fear has never impressed God or can be faithful to God. Never. I recall a time I had a seminar with a group of pastors of a big denomination in Egbe, Kogi State, over how ministers of the gospel are to be supported biblically. At the end of the studies, when it was clear that tithing and tithes are never to be paid by Christians, and that tithing was an Old Testament practice tied to a law that has been changed and replaced by Christ and his own new priesthood in Hebrews 7:12. These pastors asked this troubling question. How then are we to get enough support for ourselves and families? I was a little surprised at this question that betrayed their fears. Their insistence on asking their church members to pay tithes is because they were afraid they would not get enough to sustain themselves and their families. So they thought that it was better to disobey God than risking running low on money. I showed them passages in the New Testament that showed how God has generously made good provisions for his ministers so that they will not have to beg for bread or destitute as they work for him by faith. Let the Bible speak from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 14 and Galatians chapter 6 verse 6.
In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel.
Not by sight.
1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 14.
Okay.
The person who is taught the word should share all his goods with his teacher.
Can you imagine?
Galatians 6 6.
Can you imagine? Share all. Beloved, if gospel teachers receive from members a share of all his goods, as the Bible says, they will never lack.
That's
because
true.
Every member will be sharing with them from all that God has given them. And there is no limit. There is no 10% for a man to decide to share. A man may decide to share 50% of all that God has given him with his gospel teacher. What a great news. What a loving system. But the fear that they may not get enough from members has made these church leaders to impose an Old Testament system on Christians, not knowing that it constitutes a rejection of Christ when Christians do this. This innovative mindset of Jeroboam, triggered by his fear of losing his divinely given kingdom, shows the same innovative mindset that today's religious leaders in our religious landscape are using. They say that Christianity cannot grow or survive if everyone is worshiping in only one church, as revealed in the New Testament of Christ. But listen to what the Word of God says in John 17, verse 20 and 21, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10.
And I do not pray for these alone, but for those also who shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. John chapter 17, verses 20 to 21.
But I exhort you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10.
Thank you. In fact, the Holy Spirit goes further and clearly reveals to us the platform of this Christian unity through Paul the Apostle in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. Let the Bible speak.
Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen.
There is one body, and one Spirit.
One Spirit.
Just as you were called to the one hope, that belongs to your call. One Lord.
One Lord.
One faith.
One faith.
One baptism.
One baptism.
One God.
One God.
And Father of all.
And one Father.
Who is over all and through all and in all. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6.
You see, even the Word of God, as the Word of God has revealed that all Christians should be one without divisions or denominations. Today, religious leaders and religious organizations are bringing innovations into the worship of God, all in an attempt to make people feel good, remain in their various divisions, just like Jeroboam did. People are divided and nobody is trying to bring them together. They want to even divide them further by their own innovations. So apart from today's religious leaders establishing so many places of worship, which seems to be of more of business centers, they also appoint priests or church leaders in a manner different from what the Word of God says. These religious leaders follow after the deeds of Jeroboam, who appointed priests from other tribes other than that of Levi, which God has commanded. Let the Bible speak from 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 31.
He also made temples on high places and appointed priests from among all the people who were not of the Levites. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 31.
He made them, they are not of Levi, and yet he made them priests. Now today, just like Jeroboam, religious leaders, denominational churches, are appointing themselves to be general overseers, general superintendent of their churches, and also appoint people to be pastors, bishops, reverend father, archbishop, as well as prophets and prophetesses, even when these church offices do not exist in the Bible and are not ordained of God. Moreover, the people thus appointed by these leaders to support their hierarchy of power are not qualified according to the Word of God. For instance, when a woman is ordained a pastor or shepherd, this is a flagrant violation of the Word of God. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2.
This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless,
the husband of one wife.
Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 2.
Thank you. The Bible says church pastors, called bishop in this King James translation, are to be husbands of one wife, unless by husband in today's religious organization we have silently acquiesced to homosexuality, where a woman may marry a woman. A husband is a man.
Of course.
Yet women are now even heading churches. Some equally appoint men who are not married to be bishops. In fact, they even progress beyond this disobedience to develop not only unbiblical offices, but also unbiblical titles. They fail to recognize the fact that the term bishop also means pastor, overseer, it means shepherd as well as elder. And these are not separate offices in the church that men and women are appointed to without divine mandate. That's the same office. The elder, the bishop, the pastor, the overseer, the shepherd, they are the same office, same group of men. Anyway, beloved listening friend, doing all these things in the name of worshiping is against the will of God, just like the acts of Jeroboam were against the will of God. Since Jeroboam had taken steps to replace the Word of God with his own fear-driven innovations, he did not have trouble in his mind changing even the very annual feast and the religious calendar of the children of Israel, which was established by the Lord and known and practiced by many generations before Jeroboam ascended into power. Jeroboam, having disregarded the Word of God in order to achieve his selfish interest, altered both the time of the feast of the tabernacles from the 7th month, 15th day, to the 8th month, 15th day, and the place of the events from Jerusalem to Bethel and Dan. Let the Bible speak from 1 Kings chapter 12 verse 32.
And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And he offered upon the altar. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which
he had
made.
Underline, he had made.
1 Kings chapter 12, verse 32.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Beloved listening friend, you may be wondering and asking, how could a nation previously ruled by King David and King Solomon be so gullible to instantly follow Jeroboam into idolatry without any objections? Nobody dared to ask, did God command these things? Well, you see, Prophet Hosea was very correct when he said God's people are destroyed by the unawareness of the lessons of the past and the ignorance of the scriptures. Let the Bible speak from Hosea chapter 4 verse 6.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6.
Today, people are still being destroyed for lack of knowledge of God's word.
That's true.
As well as being unaware of the lessons of the past. Imagine for a moment, the only feast Christ instituted for his remembrance, which the apostles and the early church did regularly. Today, people have changed it, just like Jeroboam did, and many people are following it without paying attention to the instructions of the Holy Spirit, as clearly revealed in the pages of the New Testament of Christ. Today, people are celebrating Easter to remember the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus once a year, whereas the Holy Spirit clearly instructs that the memorial feast should be upon the first day of the week. Every week has its own first day. Let the Bible speak from Acts chapter 20, verse 7.
And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Acts chapter 20, verse 7.
Now, that expression, breaking bread, means to do the Lord and the communion with the body and the blood of Christ. Now, this is what the apostles of Christ and the early church were doing for many years as it was instructed by Christ. But after many years of Christians observing this feast, wise men, so-called, in religious organizations that have apostatized, came up with their own ideas of how to celebrate the memorial feast and garnished it, changed it, just like Jeroboam did with the Feast of the Tabernacle. From that moment, people started celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as known as Easter, based on how they feel and not based on the word of God again. The result of all these changes and rearrangements started with Jeroboam. When he did so, the worship was no longer what God commanded, but what a man commanded. Jeroboam was not seeking God's will, he was following his own heart. So also, when religious leaders change the word of God with their own ideology, they are not seeking God, but their own hearts. This they do for whatever personal gain they want. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says in Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Let the Bible speak.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple.
Oh dear.
Romans chapter 16, verses 17 to 18.
Beloved listening friend, please note that Satan does not really try to do away with your religious conviction, but he seeks to persuade you to accept substitute religion of man for that of God. Jeroboam was likable, seemingly reasonable, apparently practical. Consider a seemingly good reason to disobey God. Why should people travel all the way from the northern regions of Galilee to Jerusalem when they could rather travel a short distance to Dan in the north and Bethel in the south? This was more convenient,
of course,
than the travel of many days and many weeks just because you want to go and worship God in Jerusalem. So one thing was wrong with this kind of reasoning and what Jeroboam was doing. He was replacing God's will with his own. The same is happening even today. So many religious leaders and religious organizations are friendly, meeting humanitarian needs of people as well as doing reasonable things in the sight of men. But one thing is wrong with some of the things they are doing when they change God's word and ancient practices and replacing them with their own philosophy, their own ideology. So, dear listening friend, as you get ready for the so-called Easter celebrations, please ask if these things you are doing are like Lent, Ash Wednesday, etc. So many names, so many practices, if they have their roots in the teachings of Christ and the apostles that he had to give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If the apostles have already revealed all things that pertain to life and godliness according to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 and John chapter 16 verse 13, which says that all truth will be given to them to give to the whole world, then where are these new teachings, new traditions and new practices coming from? Ask and be guided. We'll be looking at Easter a little bit more intensely in our next broadcast. As we conclude this broadcast today, beloved listening friend, remember you are listening to Let the Bible Speak. All the issues we have discussed today are serious. Faith must go with obedience to the Word of God. And please remember that our opinions, religious philosophies, or innovations of religious leaders, when they violate the will of God, they lead to the wrath of God. So we plead with you to listen, to obey only the instructions of Jesus Christ as revealed by the Holy Spirit in the pages of the New Testament of Christ. May the Lord grant you the courage to do so, having heard this word in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Remember, the Church of Christ Kado meets and worships four houses away from Polaris Bank at Life Camp Junction. It is adjacent to Fana Hotel. So you can call us, send SMS, or use the following numbers on WhatsApp or SMS calls. These numbers are 3090-534-77466. I'll take it again. 090-534-77466. The second one is 080-604-11389. Again, 080-604-11389. Then we also have 080-338-24662. Again, 080-338-24662. May the Lord continue to bless you and your family this week.
Amen.
Please continue with COVID-19 protocols. Wash your hands, maintain social distance, and so forth. Once again, from all of us in the studio, we say,
do have a wonderful week.